There once was a man named Gold Roger, who was king of the pirates. He had fame, power, and wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Before they hung him from the gallows, these were the final words he said.
Our perspective is yours for the taking, but you'll have to join us first. We left everything we debated at the Yonko table.
Ever since, pirates from all over the world set sail for the Grand Line, searching for the Yonko table, the table that will make their dreams come true.
Yo!
Yo, folks. Welcome to the latest and the greatest from the Yonko table. That is the voice of Grandmaster Hoop coming at you from the fathoms below. That's right. We're going underwater. No. Damn, perfect setup. Let me rephrase that. We're going under the sea. 2023's hit new film, The Little Mermaid. That's right, folks. The Little Mermaid. It is the Disney live action adaptation of the 1989 classic Little Mermaid that started it all. Before Aladdin, there was a beast or something. There was a Little Mermaid. Y'all remember it from the TV show. It's got a live action remake. And we're here to discuss it. Ooh, we got a lot to discuss about The Little Mermaid. So we're here to go under the sea because we're some poor, unfortunate souls in vain in need. With me, as always, is fellow merman, Dr. Jace Attorney. Dr. Jace Attorney, are you trading in your fin for some fish legs?
I was so confused coming into this movie. I thought Queen Latifah was supposed to play Ursula.
Are you serious?
From the Little Mermaid live action play.
Okay, yeah, no, two different things.
ABC.
Two different things.
So wait, what was the question? Was I excited?
Are you trading in your fin for some legs? If you say yes, that means you overly were excited for this movie.
Okay, so no.
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 No. Okay. Oh, wow.
I liked it. It was fine. It was harmless. I went in expecting it to be harmful, as most Disney live action film remakes tend to be. But no, this one was fine. It was fine. Yeah.
Okay, Mary J. Blige, just fine. All right. We'll dive into that just fine a little later on, but we are not alone to venture these uncharted waters. Let's see what supernovas will be joining the nighttime swim.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rika from the Yonko Table, and you're not watching Disney Channel.
All right, cool. We're here, The Little Mermaid. This film has been building up a lot of hype. It's been building up what some would call some controversy. I don't think it's controversy.
It's where
that is a very perspective term. some mean people more or less said something.
Not my Ariel.
Ariel's from Denmark. She must be of lighter complexion. Let's not get into that. But either way, this movie has been talked about for years. They filmed this movie years ago, first of all. So it's been a long time coming. Here we are. It's finally out. Halle Bailey's at the lead. Did we enjoy this movie? Or did this version of the Little Mermaid blow you out of the water, or did it sink on arrival? Where do we overall stand with this movie? What did you walk out of the theater saying? Were you singing Part of Your World, or were you a poor unfortunate soul? Where are we?
Well, I think you would first need to establish where do you stand with the original Little Mermaid first.
Okay, sure.
You know, I feel like that plays a role a little bit.
Sure.
I never thought The Little Mermaid was bad. It's just not my favorite of the Disney Renaissance era films. It's probably towards the bottom, not because it's bad. It's good. The songs carry it. So coming into the live action remake, that's kind of the bare minimum of what I was expecting. The songs had to hit, and they had to hit good. And whatever new songs they injected in, I just hope they were competent. I know they're, again, I haven't seen every single Disney live action, but the ones I have seen, the new songs that they would inject would not be that good. I remember some from like Aladdin, and I was like, what is this? What song? Who wrote this? Who put this in here?
So going into this film, you needed the songs to slap.
I needed the songs, because like that's one thing I can acknowledge from the original Little Mermaid. The songs were really, really good. From the original. So for this one, I feel like that's the bare minimum what I needed from it, outside of the film being good, because I went in with low expectations with a Disney live action film remake. Lion King did damage to me that I don't think could ever be recovered.
Irreparable damage, huh?
Irreparable damage. Okay, Disney harmed me.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah, coming in with some trauma. Dr. Rika, the original Little Mermaid, where did you swim with Ariel, or are you trying to harpoon her? What is it?
So I love the Little Mermaid. I mean, I just looked up to make sure that the right movies that I have in my head are part of the actual Disney Renaissance like period, and I was right. I grew up and I had like these little, I remember like these little figurines of like different Little Mermaid characters that I used to like fill a Tupperware bin with water, and then I'd play with like the little character. I love the Little Mermaid. Is it my favorite of like that chunk of films from that particular era? No, because like the Lion King is genuinely like one of my favorite movies, like period. And I think there are other films there that have better music. If we look at Hercules, we look at Mulan, Tarzan. So it's certainly like in terms of like that period, it's somewhere like in the middle, but I still regard it very highly, as far as just like thinking of Disney films, thinking of movies that feel really nostalgic. And similar to Dr. Jace, I just think like I was fine with the movie being fine. Like, I don't think I had expectations that it was gonna blow me out of the water. I felt like it wouldn't be as bad as some of the other live action. I just needed it to be fine, and frankly it was. Like, I think the threshold of like the bar that I had it at was cleared, but I'm not gonna say that I was like amazed, but it was fine. It was a good time. I'm sure we'll get into all the details, but
yeah,
I think it just, the songs need to slap, need to hear some good singing, need it to just be a fine movie.
Wow, so we got two Mary J. Blige's. It needed to be just fine. Okay.
Yes.
I'm with y'all. It did need to be fine. Yeah, no. Because I'm not this big Little Mermaid stan.
But you are a stan.
I wouldn't say I'm a stan of Disney. I'm a stan of Disney. So I have expectations for all these adaptations that I do sit down and watch. The ones that I have. I think you're right when y'all both say the songs needed to slap, because I feel that is the saving grace of the original film. Those songs slap. They're really good. That's Alan Menken in his bag. I think that was Alan Menken's biggest, his first real big foray.
Yeah.
You know, with Disney, and where they're like, wow, bring that Menken guy back. He's good. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So the songs are, I think, are the best part. Now, obviously, you know, the original Little Mermaid is a product of its time. Ariel's in love. She wants to be part of the human world. She always wanted to be part of it. Now she, in that movie, she really wanted to be part of it upon seeing Eric. So it was very one note at sometimes, the character of Ariel. One of my biggest gripes with that original film is that it has one of the major giant plot holes of any Disney movie I've ever seen. The whole signing of the contract, you know, Ariel's
plot hole on that again.
So, you know, Ursula asks for Ariel's voice, and she signs a contract to give her voice away. Ariel's literate. Ariel can spell her name. Why didn't she never write her name for Prince Eric upon learning her name? Okay.
Oh.
That's my biggest gripe with that film. It makes me think Ariel is a dunderhead of a princess. And that's some euphemism. I couldn't think of a word. There are worse words, but dunderhead's good. She's a dunderhead. So going into this movie, it's my expectation that if this is a live action and you also you're going to extend the runtime, this runtime was extended to 2 hours and I believe like 20 minutes, you know, 135 minutes. So 2 hours and 15 minutes. All right. That's significantly longer than the original. That means you're adding stuff. Whatever you add needs to be worth it. It needs to be like good. Like, you know, I want to know certain things. I want to know where are all the purple mer people at? Why is Ursula the only one who's purple? Why is Ursula the only one with tentacles? Okay. You see, these things are important. All right.
You wanted a mythos expansion.
I do.
Of the Little Mermaid.
I always want mythos expansion.
Why was Ursula kicked out of the palace?
Why? Why was she? Why was she? These questions need answers. So going into this movie, I want these questions answered, and I want them to sing well, and I want Halle Bailey to kill it. And here we are. So you needed the movie to be just fine. Was the movie just fine? Dr. Riga, you said it was just fine.
Yeah, it was fine. Like, honestly, it has been a very long work week. So I just needed something that I could go into and have like not a lot to think about that I could just watch and enjoy.
Did this movie made you forget about your work week?
You know what? considering the type of work I do, I would say that it did what it needed to do in terms of just bringing me some joy, but also not feeling too heavy.
Okay.
So I said I wanted it to be just fine, and it was just fine. Exactly what I needed on a Thursday evening.
Okay. All right. Dr. Jace. Yeah. So you needed it to be just fine as well.
I just needed to be just fine. It needed to reach. Well, my bar was a lot lower. I went in thinking it was going to be god awful. It exceeded that. Just not anything past like, wow, this is Jungle Book quality. No, it did not reach Jungle Book quality. Jungle Book is my standard for the Disney live action remakes. That's like the pinnacle of Disney live action. I don't think they've ever gotten that far so far with their recent outings. But yeah, it was fine. I didn't rage coming out of it. The songs did slap, the original songs.
We'll be talking about those. Yeah.
We'll talk about the originals and the new ones too. There's one that sticks out amongst the bunch of the new ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's dig in.
Well, okay, yeah, okay. This film for y'all, just fine, barely exceeds just fine. I'm there. I'm right there. It is fine. It's good. It's not overwhelmingly great, but it's not bad. I wouldn't call it bad. They get a lot right in this film. I think the key thing we've been saying is there's some things they need to leave in the oven a little longer. Let it marinate a little more. But the story is the same story. Ain't nothing new. Ariel wants to be where the people are. She wants to see him dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them, feet. That's what she wants. All right, cool. That hasn't changed. She gets the opportunity when evil sea witch Ursula, who, you know, does she help them? Yes, she does. Them poor, unfortunate souls. But she's got her ulterior motives. She wants the all-powerful Triton from King Triton, king of the seas, seven seas, Ariel's father, who hates humans. He's a human. You're a mermaid. That's a thing. It's the same movie. Nothing significantly is different. So we're not going to go into the plot. I mean, there are some details we'll go into, but overall, it is the same movie. Coming into these adaptations, do you want the same movie? Do you want this shot for shot? A lot of this movie was definitely shot for shot, which is crazy because there's like an extra 30, 40 minutes added onto this movie. Just to preface, do you want the shot for shot? Do you feel this film was a shot for shot, or did it do enough to break away from 2019's Lion King, which was essentially shot for shot?
Your question of do we want it to be, you know, shot for shot? I don't want them in general. Like, I just...
Oh, I'm with Dr. Rico on this one.
I was just about to say, I don't know why they're doing this. I know why they're doing this. We know it's about the money. And I love Hallie, and I imagine we will have more to say about her. And I think she's incredibly talented, and I love her rise and the spotlight she's been given. And I think actually Disney has been very supportive in marketing her as she should be. So that is nothing to take away from her and her performance. I think I just like the movie, it's made. Like, we have these classics that already exist in animation, which looked really wonderful and is a part of like a string of movies that were really wonderful and creative. And even, I don't know if you all have this trailer in your screening, but like Wish is coming out soon. And that just reminded me that like, that's what Disney is all about, is like just stories and animation and creativity. And these are not creative, like at all. None of these have been, because they are shot for shot. So this idea,
two-piece combo, like, uncreative.
You know, we're adding more money to Disney's bank account, you know, and so it's just really unfortunate, because I think amongst a time in Hollywood where there's a lot of turmoil, I mean, there's still a writer strike that is ongoing, actors are potentially thinking about what their future's going to look like, Directors Guild is like, well, what are we going to do? Like, where a lot of creative people are saying, hey, like, we want to make things, but we want to be adequately appreciated and valued for that. And I think that Disney is not the only one who is kind of mixed up in some business where not really honoring all that art can be, all that filmmaking can be, all that music can be. And so it's just disappointing. So, you know, am I saying all this knowing that I also paid to go and see this movie? Yes. So I recognize my own kind of like hypocrisy in all this. But it's just like, I think, not to negate the talented people that are like in front of and behind the screen for these films, but they're not exactly groundbreaking the way in which, like, when we first got like this renaissance period of films, like it was like just the excitement and the fun, like we knew everything that would happen here pretty much.
Yeah, nothing, no, changed. I'm with Dr. Rika on these. In a perfect world, I would prefer these type of movies to just not exist, but in the same breath, have the talent of the people that worked on the movies actually put towards creating something new. Because if they're going to be doing remakes of these movies, part of the charm as to why those movies are classics is because of the way they were animated at the time. And it's like, if you're doing it in live action, you're kind of taking away a bit of the magic from that animation. So it's like, all right, you're taking out that. What are you adding in that could at least bring you up to the standard to put you toe-to-toe with that original classic? And I feel like so far, none of these remake adaptations have done that. You kind of said it yourself. You wanted to come in here to Little Mermaid and learn about, why was Ursula kicked out of the kingdom? Where are all the other octopus mer people? For a live action remake, why not go into that? Like, instead of doing shot for shot, maybe we do want to learn about Ursula. Maybe we do want to learn why she was kicked out. Maybe there's a human side to her that we never got to explore in the original. But they don't do that. It's just like you said, shot for shot with little sprinkles of originality in there, but overall, these are just the copy and paste films from better movies. And I'm not even a Little Mermaid stan like that. I don't like the Little Mermaid like that, but I can even acknowledge, I think I would prefer the original over this one. But that goes to any of the live action Disney remakes. I prefer the animated one over the live action.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's choosing the live actions or over the animated ones. At least none has come along to make anybody choose the only live action one I might choose over the animated, it very possibly, is the Jungle Book.
I
could probably do that. There's some new stuff added in here as far as plot's concerned. Something about a coral moon wasn't really expanded upon. Like,
we saw a moon in the water. Was that the coral moon?
I don't know.
I don't know what the coral moon was.
The coral moon was there. It's not really anything. We had some extended bits with Eric's mother. She hates the sea gods, and she has it out for the sea gods, or she thinks they have it out for them. Nice little parallel, I guess, to King Triton and how he feels about humans. Not much is done with it. I think you could have easily done something, a nice little kind of aerial sees both sides. Both sides feel the same way. I don't know. They didn't do much with it. This is new. King Triton and Ursula are brother and sister.
They are?
Yeah, she called him brother.
I didn't take it literally.
That wasn't one of those.
I didn't think it was like that. I don't know. I guess I don't know, because it's the only time that she said it, so I didn't take it in the literal sense.
Twice. She said like more than once that she's auntie. They called her auntie.
Okay. I remember in the beginning when she's first introduced to Ursula, she does say, "Oh, I'm your auntie Ursula." I didn't take that literally. I thought she was just, you know, playing the manipulative, you know, sea witch, like, "Oh yeah, I'm loosely related. Aren't we all related? We're all related under the sea." I don't know. I didn't take it literally, but
I took it literally, and it was literal. They're related.
Wow.
But that's not something they really cooked. They took it out too early. We didn't get any. Hello, sister. Nothing.
So he said hello, sister.
No. That's what I would have had him say. He did
Okay. I'm about to
not
say, once. If he said hello, sister, then that solidifies.
No. None of that. None of that. Missed opportunity. I'm trying to think if there's any other additions to the plot that are worth talking about. Because again, it's really shot for shot.
There were some like really small changes, you know, to lyrics. What two-three new songs?
Okay, yeah.
But overall, 90-95% of the film is pretty much the exact same.
They did handle the plot hole of her not writing her name because she didn't sign a contract.
Well, was this in the original movie that she couldn't remember?
No,
that was not in the original.
That's not in the. Do you know why they added that? And this goes along with some of the lyrics too. And Kiss the Girl, just kind of this whole idea about Ariel's doing this for love or for a man. I think they took that out for that aspect. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there's
that was not in the lyrics. Or
so, and well, in Kiss the Girl is more about they took out some lyrics for consent purposes. They wanted to make sure Eric was getting consent to kiss her, which I never took those lyrics.
I gotta look those lyrics up. No way.
Nothing. I feel there's not anything in those lyrics that really suggests that Eric was about to kiss her without consent, but they made some changes to specifically kiss the girl. Go ahead.
They also made changes to Poor Unfortunate Souls, but I imagine we'll get there.
Oh, I did. They did, because I saw Lynn's name was attached to it. But here, okay. Plot 95% the same. Not much is added. What they do add is not expanded upon. Missed opportunities. They got to do better. We got to, there's a whole ocean of mer people. We probably saw 20 at best. Crazy. What a kingdom. 20 people. All right. Let's talk about this big elephant in the room. Halle Bailey. It's the same movie. And more or less, you know, the magic was in the original film. So what's going to really sell these movies is the performances. Halle Bailey, many people ready to jump at her throat because she's black, you know, black actress playing originally a white character. Common sense people and people with a brain. Sorry, not trying to call out anybody, but understand it is her performance that matters. Did her performance sell you, Ariel? Did Halle Bailey give you Ariel? I'm going to say this right now. She's good. She's not bad. She's not overwhelmingly great. She's good.
Fine.
I didn't watch any of her other acting credits. So yeah, it was good. It was good. I believe it. I get Ariel.
Yeah, I think she excels at what I imagine she was hired for, which is being a really excellent singer. And this is not like, I'm not saying this like with any shade. Like when she was singing the songs, she was like fantastic. Like I'm very grateful. It's particularly with Part of Your World. I think both her and her sister are now trying to build up some credits as far as like, I know they have been in films before, TV shows, etc. I think they're trying to continue to do some of that. And I think both of them have grown as actresses, but where they excel is as musicians. So where I thought she was best when she was singing. And I appreciated that, particularly with Part of Your World, that it was slightly shifted to give her her own flavor of the song, because everyone knows what it sounds like by this point, because we've heard it since, you know, birth, at least in the case of us. But I really appreciated that they were able to shift it so that it really became hers. And so I thought she was really good. And I did get Ariel, and frankly my favorite parts, which I think is what I was going to say, is the unfortunate part is like at one point Ariel does not get to speak or sing.
Correct.
And I think it's a detriment to having such a really wonderful singer cast it, is that we don't get to experience her for the entire movie just being able to sing. So I think there was that one moment that felt a little clever of like, okay, this is that internal singing. I thought that was clever because like, yes, I want to hear Halle sing. So I thought she was good. Excelled the most when she was doing what she's best at, which is being a singer, a really wonderful singer.
She definitely gave me goosebumps. I got goosebumps during party. What, you didn't get goosebumps? During Part of Your World?
You're biased.
I'm not biased.
I'm kidding.
Listen, I have an unrequited love for Halle Bailey. Love me in the ungodly hour. It breaks my heart that you're happy without me, but that's besides the point. I think she killed the singing.
She did.
Without a doubt.
She did.
I would love to see who she was up against for this role.
It doesn't matter because they're just not going to beat that.
I'm just curious.
I really don't think they're going to beat what she gave in this. I feel like once you hear her voice, I feel like they kind of, because there was a song in the very beginning of the original Little Mermaid, right?
That with Fathoms Below.
That wasn't in this movie.
It was in the movie.
But not in the beginning.
Not in the beginning, no.
Okay. I think that was purposeful because they really wanted you to get just comboed in the face with the first vocal performance by Halle Bailey, which is Part of Your World. It happens like very early on in the film. And I thought it was fantastic. She hit it. She hit those notes. some of the seats were shaking when she hit the notes. I'm like, damn, are those the speakers or is that her voice? My God. But no, whenever she was singing, I could tell, like, yeah, that she got the role for the performance, which is, like, you know, a good thing, because Ariel is, you know, the character is a singer in the original. She has a fantastic voice, and I feel like to play the role of Ariel, you have to have that. You know, compared to other Disney roles where, like, you know, if you're going to watch Aladdin, you know, Aladdin doesn't need to be that crazy of a singer.
It needs to be better than what they put out in 2019.
Oh, yes, you're correct. It was not good. But, you know, it needs to be okay. It needs to be okay, minimum. But no, for Ariel, no, you gotta be up there. You gotta be up there to hit those notes for Ariel. I think Halle Bailey did a pretty good job hitting those notes.
I would also like to say, I don't think this is a hot take, but it's hard to act without talking or singing. I really enjoyed the second act of the film with a voiceless Ariel not trying, she's just, because again, she forgot. No, see, that's a new plot point. She was on land, but she wasn't actively trying to get Eric to fall in love with her or kiss her. They just naturally fell in love. Mm-hmm. And I liked that.
I thought it was really charming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It had a charm to it. I buy into that. And that's partially because, I think Halle did a great job just kind of acting with her eyes and just mannerisms of Ariel. I think she did a really good job with that. But then, you know, her other half, Eric, Jonah, Howard King, he's pretty good. I like Eric.
Prince Eric.
Did you like Eric?
I liked him. He was fine. He was fine.
God, y'all gotta stop saying fine.
It was fine. I don't think he was bad, but I'm not sitting here like, oh my God, Prince Eric, Jesus Christ. Once he got his solo on the ship, that solo number, I lost it. I fell out of my seat. He wasn't given that for me. He was good.
I think Dr. J started the podcast saying that, like, basically, like, it wasn't a, like, harmful move, like, in terms of, like, it was fine. Like, it just wasn't harmful.
It was harmless.
You know, I'm not, like, yelling about the princess not being able to sing. Like, Halle clearly can. Like, you know, was the CGI the best in the world? No, but it also was fine. Like, you know, it was just fine. So it's hard to say, because you want, I don't know, I want to have more enthusiasm for you, Grandmaster, as you're hosting this podcast. But yeah, everything was fine, with like some moments of spark, like Halle's high note at the end of Part of Your World, and you know, like even kind of moments in them going through the market, I thought was really charming. And so there are pieces in which you're like, oh, okay, this is cute, but like, yeah, nothing particularly over the top. Prince Eric was fine, you know.
Cute is actually a good word.
Were you sweating during Prince Eric's number? Is that what you wanted?
Was
to
I
say?
Sweating? No, I wasn't sweating. The number was good. We'll come back to it's a new song added. Shoot. Part of me felt like they were trying to give more to Eric this time around than before. Similar to how they gave Jasmine kind of more to do in the Aladdin 2019. You know, Jasmine was, you know, speechless.
Oh, God. no.
Speechless.
Oh, no.
And, you know, her whole kind of motivations for being queen. They tried to do that with Eric here. I thought that was interesting. A different take. We've been cut off with the trade routes. No one trades with us anymore. I want to see the world so we can trade. Sure. Cool.
Different cultures.
It was there. Wasn't cooked long enough. I don't want to say it was fine. It was fine. It was fine. It was fine.
Oh,
fine.
Look at that. Wow. Okay, almost as if it was average.
It was fine. It was fine. He was good. I like what they did with Eric. I like what they did with Eric. I'm going to say that much. They made me care about Eric more than Christopher. Do you know who does the original Eric?
Nope. I'm sure you'll tell us.
Oh, you're going to love this.
Go ahead. Haley Joel.
Shocker!
No way. Stop.
You can't get away from me.
That's him?
Christopher Daniel Barnes. Yes, he's the original Eric.
That's
crazy. AKA Spider-Man from the 90s series. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
His claim to fame wasn't Eric, I'll tell you that. It was Spidey.
Eric got him the role of Spidey.
Shocker! And put him on the map. He walked with Prince Eric so he could soar with Spider-Man. Fine.
Swing with Spider-Man, but sure. Yeah, I thought he was good with Hallie. Next to Hallie, he's good.
Did you feel the chemistry?
God, I wish they had a duet. Jeez.
Yeah, no, you're having these two characters sing, and you don't give them an original song to sing together? Weird. Strange behavior.
What is this?
But you give it to Scuttle. They gave it to Scuttle.
All right. Okay.
We can save it for the original part.
No, I think once we get out of the prominent human cast, we can get into our side characters, our sidekicks. Melissa McCarthy, Ursula.
Okay. All right. This is where I'll say, damn. What a blowout role. I was entranced by Melissa McCarthy's Ursula. I loved it. Okay. I'm not even trying to be ironic. I loved it. No, I really loved it. Because I'm remembering the original VA for Ursula, who's not
Pat Carroll.
Pat Carroll. She passed away a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just like how I don't know what the word is. Like, she's like charismatic in like a malicious way. Like, I don't know. I just like the character of Ursula. I like the performance of Ursula in the original movie. So I'm thinking, like, man, whoever they get for Ursula, they're gonna have to really try. I feel like she has the most character.
Ursula is probably the character. If you were like that lavish, yeah, like just this outgoing, enthusiastic character, you're gonna have the most fun playing Ursula.
I feel like Melissa had fun doing this, and I freaking loved it. Yeah, everything about it, I loved it. Now you wanted something more than fine. I'm giving it to you now with Ursula. It was Ursula. That was my fave.
All right, well,
that's why it's my background. That's why I have it as my background.
That's fine. You got Ursula more than fine. Dr. Ruger, are you in the same boat?
I enjoyed Melissa McCarthy. I think she is really charismatic. And I think my favorite part of her during this media cycle is hinting that we're going to get a Spy 2. If no one has ever seen Spy.
Spy 2. What are we doing?
Have you not seen Spy with Melissa McCarthy?
I have.
I can't believe you. We're talking about the Little Mermaid.
On the Little Mermaid marketing media cycle, someone brought up Spy. And so I'm just doubling down that Melissa, I would like a sequel. Thank you. Anyway.
I feel you said enough with that comment alone about how you felt about her Ursula.
She mentioned Thunder Force 2, season 2.
I knew it was coming because they had already talked about it before. I was actually really disappointed that we didn't get what is actually my favorite verse in Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Oh, body language.
Yes. And the thing is, here's the deal is I believe they took it out because they're like, well, we don't want people to focus on like, you know, sexism. That's the point. That's the point of that part of the song. Like, to clearly know Ursula is a bad character. Like, that she's very shallow. That, like, that's the intent, is for it to not feel good when you hear that particular line. You know, the men up there don't like a lot of blabber. They think a girl who gossips is a bore. Yes, I'll name it too much for flirt. Like, it's so good. It's a really, really, like, clever part of the song. The intent, like, she's the villain. Of course, she's supposed to stay villainous shit. So I'm just disappointed that they took that out, because it's the best part of the song. And sometimes you let your villains be villains. Like, that's the message. It's supposed to be... Anyway. So I was just disappointed with that. I thought Melissa was very charismatic. It seems like she had a lot of fun with the role. I thought her and Hallie, you know, had some good, like, chemistry with one another in the scenes that they were together. And, yeah, it was fine.
Damn, that makes me upset. I didn't realize body language wasn't in there.
Yeah, the whole section.
Right, because Poor Unfortunate Souls is a really great villain song.
Yeah, it's genuinely one of my favorite villain songs, like, period, in Disney's long list of them.
Right, and that's partially because you get a lot of Ursula's character in that in song. Oh, man.
That's where a good chunk really of her character is.
Dang. Because, yeah, I did like her. I did like her. I do still don't know why she's the only octopus mer person. I still don't understand why she's purple.
Witchcraft.
We don't know the backstory with her and Triton. But with all that said, that's plot wise. Yeah, her performance was. I'm gonna give her a fine.
Damn.
I feel she could have given more.
More.
More. Yes. Ursula.
Wait. Like more, as in like more in the performance, or more like more scenes.
Because
like her performance of what she showed, to me at least, I thought she nailed it. But did you want more of that?
I feel there's an edge of villainy missing from her performance.
Wow.
Yeah. Just an ever so slight edge of villainy missing. You know, everything else about Ursula was there. The sarcastic, the cynicism, what is it? Cynicism? Sure. She's a cynic, whatever. All that stuff was there, but then I just felt like at times I didn't believe in the villainy of her, and for that I gotta dock her.
Damn.
Yeah, and then that on that poor unfortunate bit. How unfortunate.
You just gotta
leave the song as is.
Yeah.
Like, the intent, you know, there is so much characterization, because it's not like she has like a ton more scenes in the original film, because she has just like this banger of a villain song that really gives you so much of her characterization, that she is shallow, that, you know, she thinks that, you know, she tries to tap in onto other people. Like, she's shallow, but also clever enough to tap into other people's like shallowness and like manipulate them based off of, you know, her cynicism of how she sees like humans and merpeople and others. Like, that's the whole point of the song. So it was just disappointing, because it is my favorite part of the song. And it gives you so much of who her character is. So,
boom, she deserves it just fine. And that's not even partially her fault. That's whatever. And what's going on, though? That's wokeism, folks.
If you keep her song in there like that, then you don't have enough room for scuttlebutt. And so where do you give? Where do you give?
Oh, we'll get to scuttlebutt. Real quick, Javier Bardem, King Triton,
Ariel. Heads or tails? I flip a coin.
Call it.
It won't be fair if I do. I was just hearing that the entire time. I mean, he was good. He was good as Trident. I liked it. Yeah, he was good. He was all right. He was all right. I feel like, oh, okay. So you want to talk about Edge. I feel like I didn't get the same level of like anger,
yes,
or fear,
correct,
from Trident.
Absolutely.
Because like Trident is feels almost like a villain when he goes into Ariel.
He's angry.
It's scary.
Angry.
When he goes into her little hideout, the grotto, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't get that.
He's a human. You're a mermaid.
You don't
belong. Javier Bardem. He's a human. You're a mermaid.
I didn't like Javier.
No, didn't like.
Academy Award winner Javier Bardem.
He is, and that is
heads
why.
Heads or tails, Erica.
Because He is Academy Award winner Javier Bardem, and is one of the best actors of his generation. And this just didn't, you know, I'm not saying that he needs to give an Academy Award performance in The Little Mermaid, but I don't know.
No, you're no. You're right. I wanted Academy Award winner Javier Bardem. I wanted it.
You wanted him to just go ballistic in that room.
He's a human. You're a mermaid. Yes.
Flip a coin, Ariel. Heads or tails.
I'll tell you, the only time I got Academy Award winner Javier Bardem, that ending hug with Ariel, and that,
was
look
good.
On his face.
That was really nice.
That's the
nice.
Only, I was like, there it is.
There's a hug.
Yes, that was a great
hug. That was your Leonardo DiCaprio moment.
No, from, that was my Javier Bardem.
No, from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh.
There no, it is. No. That moment happened when My Little Mermaid.
Roll credits.
Yeah, they roll the credits. He said it.
My Little Mermaid.
Sure.
That's funny.
Could have had more Javier Bardem. That's fine. All right. Okay. Let's our three CGI friends, Sebastian, Flounder, and Scuttle. I just want to start things off. I'm going to start off and with some fire. Flounder is ugly AF.
Why is he your background?
Because he's so ugly. I had to point it out. God, he's ugly.
What's ugly about him? Go elaborate.
He's a fish. He looks like a fish.
Isn't that the point?
I want him to look like a fish with crackers in his mouth. Chubby cheeks.
Okay. You wanted a puffer fish then?
No.
Interesting.
I wanted the flounder from 1989.
Those don't exist in the ocean.
I want that. I wanted it.
You won't get it in real life. You'll get that flounder behind you, and you'll love it just as much as the original.
I don't
look
love
at
him.
Him.
I don't love
look
him.
Look at him.
I love
lips.
Him.
You don't like
I love
his
him.
Lips?
I love him for one thing. I love him for one thing.
What?
They made Jacob Tremblay sing. I like that.
He gets some words.
I thought his voice acting was very cute.
Yes. Jacob Tremblay is fine. Flounder is not.
It's not my favorite, animated situation happening here.
It's this weird thing, and this goes for all the Disney adaptations, I guess. Some of them allow these animals to be within the realm of unrealistic looking, and then others have to be so realistic that there is no charm to them whatsoever.
Wait, you mean in this movie or just in the live action?
No, in the live action adaptations.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like they took a page from The Lion King, how people received that, where it's like ultra realistic, no emotion whatsoever in terms of like expression. They're like, okay, let's not make a realistic looking crab in this. I mean, it proportion wise, it looks like a crab, but
it moves like a crab too.
It moves like a crab as well, but its mouth, its eyes, everything about it is like, okay, they decided to not give children nightmares and, you know, made it a little more kid friendly, because a crab up close is not something pretty.
Yeah.
I think to your point a little earlier of the magic of the animated movies is that like nothing has to be realistic. Ultimately, this is a movie about a mermaid, about a half fish person. Okay. It's supposed to be magical and fun. So I think that's what's charming about the animated films and any of the Disney films with like fantasy elements and magical elements is like things don't have to be realistic. And then when you make these live action films, they almost like try to overcorrect and make it super realistic. It's just not as charming, because Flounder was super cute in the 1989 film, and now he's just really a realist. He's a fish.
He's ugly. Just say it.
Say the big U.
Say he's ugly.
Not the big U. Can we talk about, though, I did really enjoy actually Sebastian.
He looks better than Flounder.
I like his performance.
If he digs
performance than the looks, but
Did you get Tony Award winner David Diggs out of Sebastian?
No, I didn't.
I was aware that he was the voice. Yeah.
Did he give you Tony Award winning David Diggs through his voice?
I mean, like a little bit, but not particularly. Like,
your hesitation says it all.
It was fine.
There's the big F.
Settling for fine.
It was fine.
Because
it's not we're settling fine. For fine. Is that it was fine.
Look, synonyms for fine.
Adequate. You want to say adequate? Okay.
Somebody said, why didn't they just hire a Jamaican?
You know, I was wondering that too. It felt like it was someone giving off a Jamaican impression the entire time. And it was. But I mean, it was the big F. He was fine. He was fine.
Yeah, he is fine. He's fine.
He performed under the sea pretty well.
You know,
well.
He's fine. And he was also fine.
Sure.
Yes.
What did I miss? I guess, you know, okay. Scuttle.
Scuttle.
All right, we said this. Watching Scuttle and like listening to Scuttle interact with the characters. Did you hear Scuttle or did you hear Awkwafina?
I heard Awkwafina.
Yeah.
Detriment? Miscast?
Yeah. I feel like it's a miscast. I feel like it was a miscast. Because, like, I like Awkwafina in the roles that she's had in voiceover work. Like, I liked her. I forgot the name of the character, but the dragon. Sisu.
Yeah, Sisu was a better outing for Awkwafina.
Yeah, I liked her in that. And then live action. I mean, she's in a lot of live action stuff, like Shang-Chi and a bunch of Crazy Rich Asians. But I liked her. Well, no. I didn't like her in this. It's just, I don't know. I don't even think it was the gender swap that they did for Scuttle, because Scuttle was the male seal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, it's not even the gender swap. I heard the voice and all I hear is Awkwafina, and I don't know if that's how recognizable her voice is as soon as you hear it.
She's what we were talking about the other day. What? They said Awkwafina probably goes into the studio and they say, what do you want me to do with Scuttle? Just be Awkwafina.
That's it.
That's literally it.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It definitely among the three CG animated characters, I know you hate Flounder, but Scuttle for me is probably at the bottom. I think it was a miscast. I don't know. Not for me. And then, of course, it becomes more egregious when the song comes in, which we'll get to in a bit.
Oh, God.
That probably sealed the deal for me. I was probably on edge, like teetering back and forth. But once that song kicked in, I'm like, nope, you got to go. I'm sorry. You overstayed. You're welcome.
I think, the song was bad. I think I would have been fine without the song. As far as her performance, like, I think especially with the Kiss the Girl, I thought the inclusion and the little background vocally situation with Flounder and Scuttle, I thought that was cute. Like I said, there's a lot of little like charming pieces, but like that particular song, the new song, was a no for me, dog.
All right, no for me, dog. All right, looks okay. We're beating around the bush. All right, Lin-Manuel is brought on. Mm-hmm. What is already, dare I say, a perfect soundtrack to add new songs. Now, mind you, there is a Broadway show that also added new songs. They didn't take a single song from the Broadway show.
Were they good?
To my knowledge, I think Beauty and the Beast did the same thing. Beauty and the Beast Broadway show added new songs.
Really, anything that like goes on Broadway, because it's a bigger production and it's a longer show, they're always going to have new songs.
So. Right. Oh yeah, same thing with Frozen. And it's interesting because I don't think Beauty and the Beast took, I think they might have took one song from the Broadway show, to my knowledge. And then this one didn't take anything. They say Lin, they're on this Lin train, Lin-Manuel. He already pumped out Moana for them. Great soundtrack. He pumped out Encanto and a greater soundtrack.
He was
soundtrack.
On Moana?
He did all the songs for Moana.
Wow. I did not know that.
He's a good writer. Don't get me wrong.
There's a time to use him and a time not to.
So there is a time to use him. So Prince Eric's song, that's Lin. It was good.
You could say the F word. Go ahead.
No, it was good. Actually, I really liked the song because I was looking. I was like, please don't get me speechless. That was the bar. Okay. I was like, if you get me speechless where this song doesn't feel like it can't fit in The Little Mermaid, I'm gonna be upset. That song can fit. It's talking about uncharted waters. Cool. You're sticking to the theme of ocean. Awesome. So that song works. Scuttlebutt.
Yes, Scuttlebutt. Finally, we got to.
I mean, you have to talk about music with The Little Mermaid because the music is a key thing with The Little Mermaid.
It is a major blemish on this soundtrack.
Scuttlebutt. Scuttle comes in. This is the scene in the original where Scuttle comes
in.
You
know what? This is my speechless. This is my speechless in The Little Mermaid. Because think about it. What's
two different
the point
songs,
of this song? Two different songs. But in terms of like it fitting and being cohesive with what's going on in the plot and the story.
It's weird.
Why sing at this part? You know what I mean?
Yes, correct.
There's no purpose to it.
There was.
I feel like because Lin was hired, they're like, we need a song that has fast parts. Because that's what he's known for.
Wild.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And this time it doesn't.
This is what I said walking out of that theater.
Offensive.
Somebody might take this off. I don't think it's offensive. The Disney higher up said, all right, you wanted a black Ariel? We gave it to you. You wanted her to have locks in her hair? Sure, she can have locks. But she can't rap. We can't have a black character rapping. That's what they said. The Disney execs. They said, that's going to attract a different kind of population we don't want.
Is that what they said?
That is what them execs said.
So they had the seagull voiced by an Asian woman do it?
Awkwafina is a rapper. She's listed as an actor and a rapper. I don't know a single Awkwafina song.
I'm unaware of those either. Either way, I think we're all on a consensus that it was not our favorite song. And that we didn't need it.
A rap doesn't work in this world.
Does it?
It doesn't. When you think about kind of, different genres, different types of songs work, and sometimes they don't, and they did not in this case. So.
I was about to say Howard Ashman, the guy who penned the songs of the original, him and Alan Menken. Menken composed, Ashman wrote. He passed away a long time ago, so he wasn't there to give the stamp of approval. So I take it Menken must have said this is good. So maybe Menken, it's time for him to retire. Since he approved of Scuttlebutt.
He had to approve Scuttlebutt?
I'm sure he was with Lin. I'm sure he was right there. I'm sure.
Was he? I don't know.
Why wouldn't he? I feel I, he's
it's not
right.
His movie anymore.
He's right there. He's right there.
I don't know.
Menken composed this movie too. So whatever new score he did, he's here.
Interesting. Oh yeah, he's listed as songwriter and composer.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Wow.
So he co-signed.
Compose new songs with lyrics by Lin-Manuel. Oh man, he's just as much to blame.
He's to blame.
God.
It's time to retire, Alan Menken.
Pack
all
it up.
Your all your gloriousness. It's time to put the pen down.
You did your service. We salute you.
You did. You gave us many great years of Disney music. Enough.
Oh, my God.
And Lynn, come on, man. We seen you do better. And then the changes he made to the already classic songs like Poor Unfortunate Souls and Kiss the Girl. Come on, man. That's that woke shit. Get that woke crap out of this film.
He's coming back for Hunchback.
Mankin?
Yeah, so he's gonna get rid of those Count Frollo bits. Where he's singing over Esmeralda.
Oh, Hellfire? Oh, absolutely. Hellfire. That won't fly.
That's going to get toned. No, you don't want to know. Hellfire got to go. Hellfire's not getting toned out. Hellfire got to go. It is not staying in the movie.
I'm going to be here with them other people being like, you got to keep Hellfire in there. Keep that woke shit out.
Oh, my goodness.
With them, Ethan. Oh, no.
I stand with them.
anyway. What other pieces of the film are we missing?
Well, we got to talk about the musical song. So we talk about songs a little bit. I think we haven't talked about Under the Sea. That's the song that won the Oscar, right?
It's the theme song.
Because I think Part of Your World and Under the Sea were both up for Best Original Song.
I can go check. Let's see.
This page doesn't have it.
Under the Sea was pretty.
Okay, yeah. Under the Sea one. Under the Sea one.
Yeah.
Okay. So you liked Under the Sea. Under the Sea is a big selling point. It has to be.
It has to work. I think I saw a clip on Twitter like maybe a week ago.
And I said, why are you looking at this now?
It was one of the few clips of like the musical numbers, and I had not seen any of them in the trailer. So I'm like, okay, let me see. And I was so mad at that clip because it made it seem like the song was over in like 40 seconds. And I'm like, I swear to God, if this song ends in 40 seconds like that, I'm gonna be pissed. Walking out of that movie. But no, it did it. The song kept going, and it justly should have, because that song's iconic. That and Part of Your World are like big iconic songs in The Little Mermaid. Those have to be done justice.
He has eight. Wait, how many Academy Awards does Alan Menken have?
Oh boy. Okay. Under the Sea. Mm-hmm. Alan Menken. Beauty and the Beast, Alan Menken. Whole New World, Menken. Colors of the Wind, Menken.
Damn, he did all that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I think that's the last of his run for song.
Academy Awards, original score. Because remember, categories have shifted. So original score. And original song in 1989.
Okay.
Yep. And then Beauty and the Beast, 91.
He got score too?
Just for original song. For both. You're right. No, score.
Wow, look at that. Look at Menken.
Then score and song for Aladdin.
Mm.
And then original musical or comedy score for Pocahontas and original song. Yeah. Wow,
that's crazy.
Take a break, man.
Hang your hat.
I'm gonna say this. Under the Sea was better than Just Can't Wait to Be King, 2019's version.
Oh,
about to say,
because that song is all about spectacle of all the animals coming together. Both songs are about.
You're comparing the live action, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. No, I would agree.
I am not a fan of there's no choir. There's no backing choir.
I do like the backing choir.
Yeah, it's Hallie.
Musicals in general is when you have random people or animals,
the
all
starfish,
of a sudden knowing
the
choreography.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? That's part of this problem with this movie. The under the sea life is lifeless.
Oh, really?
It's lifeless. Why? Where's the fish blowing the coral horn?
Yeah, the pageantry. You know, the theatrics.
Where's the octopus hitting the drums?
Right. Where's the Duke of Soul? Yeah.
That's not realistic. That's not, that cannot happen in the ocean.
Where's the blackfish with the big lip?
Oh, the one with the saxophone?
Nah, it's the one who's like kind of doing the samba.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm.
It was lifeless.
I don't know. I want to say lifeless.
Lifeless. I mean, there's more life here.
There's more life here. Yeah. So I wouldn't say it's lifeless. I mean, it's not as expressful as, you know, the animated version, obviously.
That's a problem.
It is. But I wouldn't call it lifeless. You want lifeless, you go and look at Lion King from 2019. That is pure lifeless.
Okay,
that's
okay.
Nothing. That's zero.
I think when we talked about this already too, when with these adaptations, you know, this world is fictional. This world is not real. They're mer people. You mean to tell me we still can't get a fish blow a horn? Why is that so improbable to put into live action? We don't know. We haven't explored all the ocean. There's like 80% of the ocean we haven't explored. There is probably a fish that knows how to play an instrument. And if anybody knows them, the mer people do. I want that. I want these films to just say, yes, we're live action, but we're still with the fuckery of fish playing instruments. Why is that so hard?
I thought it was fine.
The big F. Good.
That's fine.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
It is the reoccurring term throughout this movie. I think Kiss the Girl is their best number.
I did think
that's my favorite song.
Kiss the Girl was really cute. I thought the slight edits in terms of, you know, how they just set up the scene and whatnot throughout was very cute and charming.
Yes. Hands down.
Yeah.
I think that's it for music.
We'd already mentioned like the cleverness of, you know, she can't speak, so
let's talk about that song. Yeah. Yes, okay. Go ahead. What's the name of that song?
That's a great question.
Is that the new one?
Yeah, it's a new one.
Okay.
All right, see, this is good Lin. This is an example of Lin doing good. For the first time. Terrible title, because it sounds just like the Frozen, For the First Time in Forever. So terrible title, first of all. But For the First Time, where she's singing. How the hell she knows what a corset is, I don't know. I heard that lyric and I was like, what's going on here?
It was really cute, though, and a clever way of just like, okay, here's her internal dialogue. We're seeing her reactions to things, and we get more Hallie singing when she technically is not, you know, usually can't as a result of the plot. So I thought that was a nice add.
And it was also a great place to add that song. Like,
right,
that's that whole scene where Ariel's like, you know, Eric's showing her around and stuff, that's almost a montage. That's a perfect place to put a song.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that song was good. Yeah. I enjoyed that song.
It was.
And right, Hallie killed it again, of course.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, either way, I think that's it for songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's it for plot.
Yeah.
I think that's it for for main characters, I mean, Grimsby is cool. Grimsby was good.
Who's Grimsby? Oh, that's the butler guy. Okay. Yeah, he was cool. I liked him. He did the ring kick again.
Team Ariel, like that.
Team Ariel. That was always funny.
Yep. He's like, are you sure, sir?
I wouldn't blame her.
Good.
That
it
was
good.
Funny.
Eric's mom.
Eric's mom? Yeah.
She was fine.
Fine.
I thought they were going to do something more with her.
They didn't.
I don't think she says a single word to Ariel throughout the whole movie.
Wow, even when she's right there in front of her, she doesn't say a word to her. She says it to Eric.
Yep.
That's at the end of the movie. When they're together, she is standing right next to Eric, and the mother does not even address Ariel.
Not a single exchange.
Wow.
That's bad.
She'll be fine.
Put me in this writer's room. God, jeez, man, I got ideas.
What would you have had them say? What exchange did you want?
I
Take
just
care of my
had,
boy.
I would have had this dichotomy of, you know, because one, they already set it up how Eric is kind of like not supposed to go explore the sea. Ariel's not supposed to explore the human world. Great. What we needed was the mother explained to Ariel why she doesn't want her son to explore the sea.
Oh, and you want maybe the mother and Trident interaction, the parents of the extremes?
I don't need them to interact, but I need Ariel to interact with her as well to show that the sea, you need to be more trusting of the sea and its people. You know, don't let one bad experience dictate your mindset for the rest of your life, like her father, you know. And it would have made a nice little parallel. And again, that's things they didn't let cook in the film. They took it out the oven.
But they showed the mer people. They revealed themselves at the
That's
end.
That's not good enough.
They're now in harmony. No one was afraid of the mer people coming out of the sea.
That's not good enough.
You had to have enough time for your favorite song.
What song?
Scuttlebutt.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know why you were praising that song in the movie.
What? I was not praising that song.
You were singing it.
No, yeah. I don't even know it.
But I heard you singing along.
No, you did not.
Yes, she did.
You weren't even there. You're in Normal.
Wow, you're gaslighting right now.
I was right there. I heard you.
Absolutely not. Is there anything else about this movie?
There's the Ursula transformation. There was the big question of who Ursula was going to transform into. I had that question. I was like, wait, Ursula transforms. Like, who's the actress that's going to
play that? I don't even know that actress. Right.
In comparison to, like, you know, I felt like we got a little bit more time with, is it Vanessa?
Vanessa, yeah. Oh, I can't even find the actress.
This was pretty quick. Bam, 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 let's get out.
A lot of this film at times felt like they were rushing through, especially rushing through like the shot for shot parts. Like, let these people act.
No, get to Scuttlebutt. No. Every solution you have compromises time to get to Scuttlebutt, and that's
let
the problem.
These people act, and I felt Goodness. At times they were not letting them act. Her name's Jessica Alexander.
That sounds familiar. Vanessa.
I'm looking at her credits. I don't think I know her.
I don't know why. But yeah, that was like the big what if, just out of curiosity.
If they were going to do it.
Right. I mean, I feel like they had to, because I remember that was such a significant plot point in the story, because that's where like the big reveal comes out, like she's a mermaid. And I remember that scene where Ursula's just like crawling on the deck of
the scary crawl. Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, yeah, they got to keep that. They got to keep that. So that was just a big curiosity thing. I was wondering if they were going to who they were going to have play in that role. yeah, they just kind of did one and done, out the door. All right,
they,
next.
They said she cannot be prettier than Halle Bailey.
Oh my goodness. They also didn't do the fish thing with Trident, the little thing he turns into.
Yeah, they straight up killed him. I thought he was dead.
He was dead, dead.
Oh, and you know what? I was going to give them major points for that. If they killed him off.
Wow, really?
Yes. Now, I do think it was unceremoniously killed off.
Yeah, I would not have given them points for killing him.
But I was like, that's bold. If y'all going to be different, that's bold.
It's but like, for what purpose? Like, he just dies and that's, oh no, he's dead. Like, where's the boldness in that? There's nothing.
I'm going to say this. If you're not going to kill him, don't make him disintegrate.
It was weird because the Trident, after they defeat Ursula, just falls into the water and then he just reincarnates again out of nowhere. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Did you like
Giant climax, Ursula? Climax, Giant Ursula. Right. Okay, good. Let's talk about that finale.
Doesn't she sing in this bit? She sings here, right? Or is that in Kingdom Hearts?
That's in Kingdom Hearts.
Okay, that's in Kingdom
You're
Hearts.
You're kidding right now.
I thought that was a song.
No, you did not. No, you Flotsam.
Flotsam and Jetsam. You deserved it.
Dr. Rieger, you should look this up. Kingdom Hearts 2 Ursula song. You should look that up. Some people said, I forgive Kingdom Hearts for that swim this way and dance and we'll play.
Because of Scuttlebutt?
Yes.
Y'all owe Kingdom Hearts 2 an apology.
That's what people said. I'll say this. I'm glad they made giant CGI Ursula, because from here I compare it to Aladdin, where they were afraid to make Jafar giant genie.
What did they make Jafar again?
They made Iago. Oh, I guess they did make Jafar a giant genie, but he looked terrible. But they made Iago a giant parrot dragon versus Jafar turning into a snake.
I remember that.
Because you don't remember because it was bad.
Yeah, I mean, I was really bored with the Aladdin live action. But yeah, no, that's terrible. Oh my God. I mean, I think they did good with this.
He
looks a lot more intimidating. God, that's like nightmarish. What she turned into, because like it's not a lot that you can see because it's like in darkness, but like what you can see is kind of hellish in nature. I don't know. I felt like, oh man, are the kids gonna be able to handle that?
I will say this. I think it was very silly for her to just turn giant for no reason. She's mad
she was
that
stirring the pot. She was stirring the pot with the trident. She was making that whirlpool.
I would have took that trident and ran. Why would I want to smash two little people?
They just killed Flotsam and Jetsam.
I will find some new eels.
Those were her babies. She said my babies. My babies.
I will find new babies. I'm an octopus. I laid 10,000 eggs.
No, nope,
I don't think that's true of octopi.
It's not enough for her.
I'm making stuff up. I'm glad they went the CGI route because I'm like, don't be bold. Don't be afraid. Just do it. Do you like Ariel being the one to kill her?
So it was Eric that did it originally.
It was Eric. I feel they very much tried to not make Ariel
a damsel
or hopelessly in love.
Yeah, I noticed it. I was like, wait, Ariel didn't. Ariel was not the one that killed Ursula, but like it didn't bother me. It didn't add to it either. You know, I think it's maybe preferred this way so that it's not like, you know, she's not in control of her own story. As opposed to Eric being the man that saves the day.
Right.
And now he will marry Ariel. It gives Ariel some level of control.
It's autonomy.
Yeah. She rams it. She rams that ship right into Ursula's tummy.
Super easy.
Super easy, yeah. Kind of wish there was a little bit more to it. She just turns left. Not sure how she knows how to pilot that because she wasn't taught how to in the human world.
She read it in a book.
She read it in a book.
Don't know if she can read.
Right, right. She could pretend to read. She was flipping through the pages in the grotto of that one book. And she pointed at a picture.
Oh, look, Jenny can only get you so far.
But that was good. Something a little different. And yeah, Ursula, she dead.
They had an overextended little moment of bringing back Triton. Eric goes back to home thinking Ariel's gone. Triton sees Ariel, feels bad, turns into a human off screen. Ariel shows up. This conclusion was terrible. They could have chopped this up a little better. Or just done it all in one. I don't know why.
I didn't like how they cut away from the changing. Turning her. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why either. That was weird.
I feel like that would have been a pretty nice moment between her and her father.
Absolutely. Very, very, very different.
But yeah.
So yeah, we end things. They're off on a journey. Sequel.
Actually, you know, interesting enough, they didn't end it on a wedding.
They got married. Wasn't that a wedding? Was that not a wedding? There's flowers in the boat.
There was on the boat?
Yeah. Little ship, the little rowboat.
Oh.
They were throwing flowers. Maybe it's good they didn't end in a wedding. Maybe that says too much.
Right.
Oh, let's get married. Let's not build together. We're married now. There it is. 3 days together. That's it.
Right.
Maybe it's ambiguous enough to not say it was a wedding.
I say so. But yeah, I mean, maybe a sequel. I know Aladdin's getting a sequel.
I don't know if Aladdin's getting a sequel anymore.
It's still listed as a, you know, to be announced.
Aladdin had some. Aladdin said some dumb things about this movie.
Oh, the actor.
Mina Massad. He's kind of upset. He's like, I forget what he said. He basically said this movie doesn't have to do good and it'll still get a sequel. And people are over here like, you just mad because you're not working.
So he got like no work? Like he's not in anything since Aladdin?
He's got very minimum roles since Aladdin.
Interesting.
And a lot of people thought that would kickstart his career. Or shoot it into high gear.
Interesting.
It has not.
Poor feller.
A little bit. Oh, well. A little bit.
Oh, well. C'est la vie.
Well.
I think that's it. Yeah, right. I think that's it.
I believe that is all. I mean, the movie was adequate.
thank you for the synonym. Very good.
I promised I'd use a different word. I love Howie. She's really talented. You know, I'm glad that she is getting praise, as she should. I am looking forward to some movies that we'll have on the horizon that look really fun. So that I can use more words than just fine or adequate.
Ooh. Yeah, are we forcing this hype for this movie?
There was never a hype.
I don't think, like, I genuinely, like, I'd rather feel this way than, like, horrified at the ridiculousness that we've had to watch in other live-action films.
Right.
Sure.
I'd rather just be like, okay, fine, it was adequate. If, like, I had to watch them. So.
They could have done Lion King, and they didn't. And that's good.
It could have been worse. I'd be curious what better looks like. Maybe it's just the animated version. I don't know. But, you know, I think Hallie's talented. Hats off to all the people involved as far as, you know, all the hard work that they put into the film. I think there are more exciting projects to come. Literally next week, we get Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. Like,
Oh man, you know, yeah. We're coming in screaming.
There's a ton of stuff dropping in June, you know.
June is busy. We are going to be busy in June.
June is very busy. So, you know, there's just, you know, it's a summer blockbuster. It's going to make a lot of money, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Kids definitely. Movie, kids are out of school.
Yep.
It'll make its money. It'll be fine. So, yeah, it's
adequate.
It's an adequate film. You know, for the live action bits, I kind of want them to just do some of the Disney. If Disney has some agenda where it's like, we have to remake our entire animated catalog, give it to something that maybe didn't have enough time in the sun. Treasure Planet.
People been pushing for Treasure Planet.
Do something like that. If you have to do, I prefer you not do it, but if you have to do it, do Treasure Planet.
Atlantis.
Grandmaster's favorite, Home on the Range.
No.
Do live action films like that.
I don't want to watch a live action version of cows walking.
Why not? Nope. You saw it for lions.
No, different.
What? Nope. Carnivorous? That's the main difference?
No.
Interesting. Yeah. If I was going to like drop a score, I mean, I don't know, 6.5. It was okay.
Yeah, I'm feeling a 6.5 as well.
Oh, wow. You're feeling a 6.5.
I was between a 6.5 and a 7.
You were giving us all this crap about calling it fine. And
why
isn't yours an 8?
Don't get me wrong. Again, I keep saying they didn't let things cook. Like, there was some really good talent here. And yet a lot of these scenes were very rushed. I enjoyed the music, but I didn't enjoy the entertainment quality of the musical sets and pieces, except for Kiss the Girl. And then I didn't get that lore expansion. I did not get to hear Ashley Simone talk more than once. I barely saw her. She's from Bridgerton, if y'all watch Bridgerton. Or Sex Education.
But who is she?
She's one of Ariel's sisters.
Oh, yeah, the sisters. Oh, my God. Yeah, they barely had anything. I mean, they don't have anything to do in the original either. But, again, this movie's an hour longer than the original as well. Why is it an hour longer?
Right. That's my main issue. Please add new content. Make this adaptation worthwhile versus shot for shot remake with a stupid scuttlebutt song.
Right. Now you hate it all of a sudden.
I never said I liked it. It's just weird. It's weird. Scuttlebutt.
Oh, God. It's going to be stuck in my head.
But I will say this. Yes, performances wise, I think across the board, the performances were good.
Liz McCarthy in her bag. Love it.
I am happy that Hallie, I think, was probably the best thing about this movie.
You mispronounced Melissa, but
no, correct. I did not. I'm glad Hallie is going to be now an icon. No matter how you look at this film, she's
now
gonna go down.
She's going to be an icon.
Well, no, like for, you know, like kind of like this, you know, for young black girls, young girls of color. I think she's there for that, and I'm glad. I'm glad her. Her job in this movie wasn't bad, because then it'd be like, well, damn, now we got to look up to a trash movie. No, you can look up to a good character in a trash movie. It's not a trash movie. It's mid-tier for the Disney adaptations.
It's serviceable. You will survive watching it. You won't turn it off halfway through.
Right. You can finish this movie. Right. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. 6.5 is still passing. Some people don't understand that.
I don't know. You seem to say sixes are D's.
I don't like giving sixes, but I got to give them where they are deserved.
Interesting.
Had you just told me why Ursula is the only octopus mer person, this movie would have been a 7.5.
So Quantumania is better than Little Mermaid?
Yes. Yes, without question.
Interesting. Well,
yeah.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, I don't like comparing two completely different films, but yes.
That's going to be your bar for 2023. Is it better than Quantumania?
Oh, God.
Oh, man. But I think that's it.
I give Quantumania now? Now I'm trying to look. When did that come out?
February.
February 2023. Grandmaster gave it a 10 out of 10.
No, I did not.
What did you give it?
I gave both films a 2.5 out of 5 stars.
This one?
Yes.
Little Mermaid and so Quantumania?
Yes, 2.5. Although I wish, you know, Letterboxd would let me do like 0.75s or 0.25s, because sometimes, you know, there is that slight difference.
Yes, correct. Absolutely.
Sometimes.
So, but they don't, so it is what it is. But yeah, for me, it's 2.5 out of 5 stars. Like I said, it was fine. Adequate.
And that's all it needed to be.
No, I just needed to have a good time on a Thursday evening after a long week of work, and I did.
I had a fun time after work as well.
Did you have a fun time after work, Dr. Chase Attorney?
Yes, I did. This was a fun movie.
All adults jobs who had a fun time after work.
There are hardly any kids in there either.
Oh, yeah. There was, there was those kids with the lights towards the bottom, I guess.
But
yeah,
I didn't even see them.
They were on your side. You were probably listening to Scuttlebutt and singing along.
Yeah, we were.
Right. Singing along.
Scuttlebutt.
Sure.
But yeah, that's the movie. Just okay.
Okay.
Just okay.
Do we know which next Disney live action we have up next? I know Lilo and Stitch is being casted.
I think it's Hercules.
Oh man, Hercules is not making headways at all.
It's not. And that's the one that they're like really going out of their way. Okay, no, but Hercules, they're really going out of their way to make it different. Because did you hear about Hercules? How they're like...
Russo brothers, I know, are attached.
Right. But like in terms of like what it's like, the type of movie it is, it's like, I don't want to say a musical, but it's... I need to look up how they described it. I remember like when it originally came out, I'm like, wow, they're really trying to just do something completely different from the original, which again, that's what we keep asking for. So I don't know, maybe the live action Hercules will be the extreme end of how different is it allowed to be from the original? We'll see. I don't know.
I think that one's super far off. I think we're going to get Lilo and Stitch before that one.
We don't have casting yet for...
Moana's in the pipeline.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. That you just know aggravates
me. I went on a rant at the beginning of the podcast. I'm tired.
Okay. Snow White. That's the next one.
Okay. That's Snow the next White. One. Gal Gadot one. And Rachel Zegler.
That's March of next year. March of next year. And then in July, we get Mufasa, the Lion King.
That one should be interesting.
I don't know. We'll see.
We will see. We will come back for you to rant about this when we do our Disney live action adaptation ranking.
Oh, we can. Right.
Because I feel I know where you're going with that.
I bet. It's fine because I'm thinking about next week and how excited I am for what is on the horizon for just movies in general.
Fair enough.
Take in those positive emotions.
Good. Let's swim with those positive emotions. Indeed. All right. Enough chitter chatter, folks. Let's close this out. That is our takes on The Little Mermaid 2023's. Starring Halle Bailey as Ariel and everybody else in this film. Shout out to them. They gave us an outing. We enjoyed some of it. We critiqued the rest and so forth. With that said, thank you for listening on all your various podcast stations, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following us on all social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And of course, thank you for following us on YouTube and Twitch. Dr. Jace is doing things on Twitch and TikTok and all that stuff. Thank you for giving us the following. If, again, we need y'all to join our Discord. We want to hear from y'all, all right? If you want to combat us on any of these things, make your voice be heard. Come call us out in the Discords. Join the link below. There you go. It's there. All right, we're closing out this thing. I'm Grandmaster Hoop, fellow Yonko, Dr. Jace Attorney, Supernova, Dr. Rika. We're closing out this thing. Sing your favorite line from this movie right now. Sing your favorite line. Go ahead.
Sing it.
Sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it. I mean, I hope it's a lyric.
Oh.
Scuttlebutt.
Boom. Can't use the same one.
Under the scuttlebutt. There.
Whoa. Bad. There you go. Here, I'll close it out like this. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know something's starting right now. Watch and you'll see. Someday I'll be part of your